The Lord is good. Please, if you are still gathering questions, go ahead. I think to save time, I will start answering the ones we have here, then he'll bring the rest. Now let me just take them one by one. Let me start with this. Somebody asked this question. He says, sir, please, what's your opinion on Christians being involved in politics? I ask this question because I see the way many have compromised because of the way the system is structured. Sometimes I feel our place is to pray for the system and be the change we want to see by being agents of change in our various spheres outside of politics till things get better. I don't know if I'm wrong to think this way. Very good question, and I think it's very appropriate, especially at such a time as this. Should Christians be involved in politics? Are you wrong in thinking this way? You're not very accurate, let me put it like that. You are right that many people have gone in there and they have compromised themselves. They have compromised the standards of righteousness. What I want to say is that you don't have to do that. Do you get my point? There's nothing wrong with running for an elective post. Now, let me just say this. You cannot claim an elective post by faith. You can't say, in the name of Jesus, I declare I'm the next senator. It's a desire. That's the only thing God allows you to do about that one. But you want to run for local government, chairman or whatever be the post. There is nothing wrong with Christians doing that. Should you join a political party, if it's the law of the country that you have to be a member of a party, please go ahead and join. But you don't have to do what they are doing. You can say no. Now, those who compromise is they turn it to do or die affair. That is the major reason you compromise. You see, there's one thing I found out the world does. They first check whether you will compromise. And once they find out that you won't, they know how to treat you. There are times they will say, look, don't support that man. Won't eat anything. Do you follow my point? And that's a matter of fact. And they won't support you. There are times they will decide that I beg. This is not eating time. We need somebody who will work. Then they know when to call you and support you. Are you getting my point? So you don't have to compromise. It is not true that when you get there, you must compromise. Why people do that is that they start compromising little things. The worst that will happen, usually if you start it early, is that you will lose an election. And what's the big deal? Losing is part of it. Just like Christians think that, well, by faith I must win. No. There are times you lose by faith. Go and read your Bible. The Bible says some people refuse deliverance. By faith, they refuse deliverance. I know a particular man, I won't mention the name now. I think he was a senator. I don't know whether he's still, no, he's not a senator currently, I don't think so. When his people said he should come and represent them, the people actually came and they said, represent us. So some electoral officials now came at the end of the day and said that he should bring a certain amount if he wants to make sure he wins. So he told them, you know what he told the electoral people? That they should go and ask his people. That he never asked for the post. He's a rich man, he's satisfied in himself. That it's my people that said I'm the best person to represent them. If I have to bribe my way to win, then they are wrong. So he told everybody, carry your trouble, come out. You know what happened? He won the election. Are you getting my point? Our current vice president is somebody who, I don't know him personally, but I first encountered him many years ago when I was a resident in Luth, in Idiaraba. And we had a doctor's outreach. And somebody said, there's a young professor in Lasso, we should invite him. And he came with an early morning meeting, breakfast meeting. And he came and preached to us. So when this matter came up, is he a true believer? Yes, I believe it. Because I encountered him long before politics. The story I'm telling you will be around 1996, 97. That's when I first encountered him. He came to our program and he was our guest speaker. Until today, have you ever heard anybody say anything specifically negative about him, apart from the fact that they don't like his boss? No, think about it. The only thing they ever tell you about him that they don't like is that, now one brother said, he's part of the cabal. I'm part of the cabal too. You're part of the cabal. We're all part of it. I don't know. People can say what they like. But they've never told you he did this or did not do this. He's one man that Nigerians respect very much. Okay? For me, it's a good testimony. There are different ways to get involved in politics. His own was one way. And what I mean by one way is that he never really campaigned for anything. He was always appointed into a post. This particular one, you can say he campaigned this one, but you know how I'm trying to say. They have already finished primaries. before he was picked as, let's not call it running mate, let's call it assistant presidential candidate. I like his testimony in that area. But for me, that should encourage us, okay? One of the things you should understand that politics is about service. So if as Christians, we focus on it being about service, we'll handle it slightly differently from other people. And let me tell you the truth. You know, people read through you. Some people may be wrong in reading you, but generally people know what you are looking for. If you gather there and you look like you are looking for money, they are going to treat you like you are looking for money. But if you are, if you from the beginning, people know that you are a service person. What happens a lot of times is that, like I said, we all have a right to have somebody we support. But whether you actually support somebody or not, but if people know that this man, this woman can do this thing. Many of the people that work in government, I hope you know they were not elected. They were not elected. Ministers are not elected. Are they elected? No, ministers are not elected. Special assistants are not elected. Heads of parastatals are not elected. The man that was elected just turns around and starts picking people that will do things. That's one area where I think Christians first make themselves available. But you have the mindset that politics is bad, is wrong. You shouldn't have that mindset. One day, one of my brothers wanted to. That's how he knew that people have a negative character. Their spirit is negative about everything. He started fighting and said that, okay, I'm mixing two people up now. But one guy, he did like that. Why should Osinbajo be working for Buhari? So I said, excuse me, sir. I may be confused. What is wrong with that? Did Daniel not work for Nebuchadnezzar? Did Joseph not work for Pharaoh? Those are the questions I asked. I said, did Daniel not work for Nebuchadnezzar? One of the people that financially supported the ministry of Jesus. Her name was, what's the name? The wife of Chusa. Herod's minister. That woman's husband was a commissioner under Herod. The Herod that beheaded somebody. You know the person that was beheaded? Chusa was working for Herod. The wife was one of the people following Jesus around, giving offerings, carrying this, doing stuff. I asked my brother that, I said, what do you mean? He said that Joseph was a slave. He was forced to serve. Daniel was also a captive. He was forced to serve. I said, okay, so where good people were forced to serve, free people should not serve freely. I don't know what that is my point. Service is service. Those men demonstrated to us that you can serve in a government even if it's not a righteous government. But look at their testimony. The king knew that if you wanted progress, you talk to Joseph. People came to him. We need food. You know what the king said to them? Pharaoh, why are you here in my palace? Go and meet Joseph. Joseph had gathered. Don't forget, the famine didn't start for 7 years after Joseph was appointed. Remember that? But in 7 years, Joseph has shown so much integrity that by the time the famine broke out, Pharaoh just told them, what are you all doing in my palace? What happened? Who died? Don't you know Joseph's office? That was how much trust Pharaoh had in him. So it wasn't about the fact that he was a slave. Same thing with Daniel. And nobody should tell me that Daniel was not a slave in that category anymore after the first regime. By the time Cyrus came into power, did they force Daniel? He was chosen because of his skill, of his integrity. And when the people were trying, you know, remember what happened, that they had 120 commissioners. All right? And then under those ones, the commissioners and satraps, they now had them under three, like, deputy prime ministers. Daniel was one. Then when Darius saw how good Daniel was, he now decided that he would promote him from being a deputy prime minister to being the prime minister. So they will still have three. You replace him, he will now be in charge of all three. That was when the boy said, oh boy, business don't spoil. Because under his own, the king was not suffering any loss. So that's what we Christians need to try. Just know that, listen, what you need to remove from your mind is political office is not where they get rich. I don't know what I hear when I'm saying. We should imbibe the truth that political office is not a place I will get rich. See it as a sacrifice. No, it's a sacrifice that, if I take this job, work don't start. And all I'm going to get is my salary. That's something Christians must learn. Faith will strip you of things. There are times you just say, no, I don't want them to say I made Abraham rich. Remember the story. So this one is legitimately yours, but I don't want. Just give me my salary, the one that IPPIS will transfer to my account, that everybody can see. Any other thing, I don't want. Say, in Nigeria, such favors is not illegal. I know. I just don't want it. It's just for 4 years. I will survive. The salary is not bad. I still have my business going on the side. If we remove from our brains the idea of when you enter government office, you are made, you know that serving is not difficult. That's all I have to say about that. I have much more, but for time's sake, let's just leave it there. So please, this system will be structured wrongly. Don't worry. You can still fit. God is working in your life. He will fit you properly into your right place. Don't have the idea that you will stay aloof. No. If you are called upon, the only thing I have some personal advice. Sometimes don't rush. Wait to be called. There are times to just be serving until you are called. That's one of the things but these are just different ways by which you can operate. Okay? But if you have the opportunity, people of God, please don't shy. Don't shy away from it. Make up your mind from the beginning and get people to pray with you. And you yourself, don't love anything there especially more than the service. If you have that in mind, it will be good. The Lord is good. All right. Next question. I will be brief about this. How can I effectively be light and salt to children, teenagers mostly, in a school environment where moral decadence has deeply eaten into the hearts of the children? My personal advice is, if that is in your heart, first, pray for them and start teaching. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Start teaching. Start organizing programs. If the school allows you, have meetings maybe once a week in your office on Fridays, 1 to 2 o'clock. And look, the word of God works. There's no psychology. It's the word of God. One of our brothers, where he was teaching, the same thing. Things were bad in that school. Cultism and all of that. Secondary school. His brother, I gave the example that when he got a job in First Bank, he was about to go and resume. Then he came to the office, our office in Enugu, and he took the book, Don't Quit the Army. And he read the back of the book, and he threw away First Bank's appointment letter. And went back to the secondary school to continue his work. First Bank had given him the job, he has signed a warranty, everything, come and resume work. He's supposed to just return something and they'll post him. He just stopped by in the office. Then he read the book, Don't Quit the Army. He said he read only the cover. And he went back to the school where he was teaching. He said, I can't leave. Why? Because God was using him to change the children. What can you do? Of course, you have your own personal moral example you will set before them. But the only other thing you can do is to open your mouth and do what? Teach. You will instruct them. You will call them. And most importantly, brethren, the weapon of your warfare is mighty through God. You are going to pray for them. You are teaching in school there. You are the administrator there. You will get on your knees every day. Mention the name of those children in prayer. They are misguided. You said mostly teenagers. Teenagers don't know anything. They are thoroughly misguided. You have to be aggressive in pursuing them. And the only thing you can do is invite them, teach them, instruct them. But my people, you have to pray. There's nothing else you can do if you don't pray. There's no way. You're going to get on your knees and pray. Do you get my point? All right. So organize programs with them, start teaching them. Have interesting activity. Just by the way, if you're handling young people like that, teenagers, please find them activity. You know why? They have energy. They have to burn it somewhere. So you've been sitting here since morning. Young people generally, if it was a young people's program, not a teenager's program, we'll teach the word though. But then, if we're meeting regularly, we'll have a dance group. I'm telling you, you have drama group, soccer unit, computer games. young people are just like that. Now, it must not be the center. You understand? But just this is not the main thing. Are you getting my point? This is just a side attraction. I just believe that if you have to monitor, mentor young people for a long term, please give them where to burn energy. Give them where to burn energy. They will pray. They will study the scriptures. They will do assignment, but as part of that, let them go and play football. If you have different, the thing has been in my heart for a long time. I want to encourage churches, have this kind of PFN. Churches, you have football teams. Don't worry, it doesn't further the kingdom in itself. But just give young people something to waste their energy on. They have too much energy. They will practice once a week. They will have a competition, PFN, Port Harcourt. They win a match. And of course, you have your strict rules on their moral behavior and all of that. They're going to be members. That's just what I think, all right? But what do you do? Teach. There's no alternative to that. You have to physically instruct them. All right, the Lord is good. All right. Please, sometimes, the questions I get is asking me, please preach what you preached yesterday. I didn't hear you were yesterday. Yeah, that's what it comes to. So some of those questions I will not be able to answer. Somebody asked a question on them, what I said about being salt of the earth. One thing I remember specifically saying is that go to davidpawson.org. David, PAWSON.org. When you get there, look for his audio, being salt and light. Something like that. Just type salt and light. It's a series of 4 or 5 messages. Please listen to it. It will say everything. Much more than, of course, the message is like 4 or 5. So you can imagine each one about 1 hour. So you will learn a lot from that. So I just want to beg you to do that. Okay? Somebody said that the Bible, God promised the children of Israel to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Is it wrong for a Christian to migrate mainly for economic reasons to a more vibrant economy? The answer is yes, it is very wrong. Okay? The land flowing with milk and honey is a land of promise. That is where God leads you to. It's not the milk and honey that's the issue. It is the leading of God. That land flowing with milk and honey was promised to Abraham when there was no milk and honey there. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Let's not misapply scriptures. The land that was flowing with milk and honey, it was not the milk and the honey that God was using to attract the people. It was that this was the land I promised to your ancestors. That was why Abraham did not go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was flowing with milk and honey, but it was not the land God promised him. The land of the Edomites was flowing with milk and honey. God warned them, don't touch it. The land of the Ammonites was flowing with milk and honey. God said, don't touch it. Mount Seir was flowing with milk and honey. God said, don't go near. Those ones I have given to some other people. They were the lands of Esau, the lands of the descendants of Lot. God said, don't touch. Go to the one I gave you. That one used to belong to the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites. And don't forget, God drove them out. So when God has been driving people out of America, maybe you should go. I don't know whether you're getting my point. God said, I am driving them out so as to bring you back in. Okay? Israel did not migrate because of economic reasons. They migrated because God told them, leave the land of promise until the iniquity of the Amorites is full. So God moved them to Egypt for safekeeping. In due season, he brought them back. Please, let's not misapply scripture, all right? And listen, when Abraham moved, he moved from a developed country and started living like nomads. He started living like nomads. Go and read the story. He said he was dwelling in tents with Isaac and with Jacob. The same way with Isaac, the same way with Jacob. They were moving from one place to the other. You will see, Isaac, there was a time, economic thing wanted him to move to Egypt. What did God say to him? Don't dwell in that land, when he was in Gerar. So God doesn't drive people up and down because of food. He drives them up and down because of promise, because of purpose. Israel left Egypt. Egypt had a lot of food until God broke the staff of bread there. But they had to go to a land of promise. It was the promise that's the issue, not the milk and honey. Milk and honey is spread upon where God sent you. Do you get my point? Where he sends you to, he will bless you there. All right? Please, I will not be able to answer this question now. Please, I can't even start it. Somebody has a question about Christian dressing and all of that. Listen to our series, Culture of Faith. There's one particular one titled The Attire of Faith. Please, I think the message is out there. It's in the series. There's one particular one titled The Attire of Faith. Please listen to that. I don't want to start this now. This will be a very long story. All right. Somebody said that, please, I know this is not what you taught today, but help me. Can a Christian go to court if he's oppressed or intimidated? Going to court is not a sin. It's not wrong. What the Bible says is that you shouldn't take another Christian to court. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is that it doesn't mean you let a Christian do anything he likes to you. What is said is that don't drag him before unbelievers. It's embarrassing to the gospel. So what do? Drag him before the elders of the church. So if a Christian offends you, he said, go to him. If he does not listen, go and meet one of your mutual friends and take that one with you. If he doesn't listen, then you go to the elders of the church. And if he refuses to listen to the elders of the church, all right, then you now treat him like an unbeliever and drag his head to court. Do you get my point? It's just the order that God gives concerning Christians. That's the difference. But whether they can go to court or not is not a sin. But if the person is an unbeliever, then you weigh your options. There are times God will say, turn the other cheek. It's not everything they are contentious. If you're a contentious person, your problem is not court, it's contention. Some people, they can never take any nonsense, and that's why they're always quarreling. One of the things you must learn to do in life as a believer is to take rubbish. There are times they will do you in the traffic, waka. Just look the man and continue going. I used to be very angry inside traffic before, but my soul has calmed down now. There's one video, I don't know whether you saw it, somebody shared one time, one man, out of anger, he drove roughly in traffic. His car somersaulted. He was trying to, he was angry with somebody kicked his car, a man on a bike. So he wanted to just knock the bike man off. Make a loss of it. It was his car that somersaulted. So calm down. It's not every time you get into a fight. But if you need to, all right, you have exhausted everything. The Bible says, as much as it depends on you, follow peace with all men. There was a time Paul had to appeal his case to Caesar. But when it no longer depends on you, what else are you going to do? Do you get my point? All right. So that's what I have to say about that. Okay. Now, let me just quickly. So let me remove the ones that I have tackled. All right. My question is on the area you said you don't need to struggle for things to happen. Does that mean you should not work hard? No. Did I say so?
No,
it's good you ask. That's why we like this Q&A session. Diligence is a mark of spirituality. Are you getting my point? There's what is called faithful in a little thing. That's what I mean. But there's also what is called eating the bread of sorrow. You know what they call bread of sorrow? Is you have woken up by 4:30 a.m. and you don't get back home till 12 midnight. You are living under a curse. I can assure you of that. After 24 hours, you only manage to sleep for 4.5 hours. What else is called hellfire? That is suffering. This is under Satan's yoke. The man who started saying in Tetana, he was reputed to have worked 18 hours a day. 18 hours a day means that the other 6 hours include sleeping, socializing, talking to his family and all of that. So he was married 3 times or 4 times. And all his wives said that it is not because he was a bad man, but there was no husband. So they left him. And when I read the story of his, I watched him, the documentary about his life, I said, that's not how to prosper in life. We should be careful how, who we follow. The word of God is first. Tetona was working 18 hours a day. I will never follow him. It is sin to behave like that. The Bible says it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late, eating the bread of sorrows. But a man should be diligent. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. Christians are diligent people. They work hard, but they don't do bread of sorrows. Are you getting my point? That's how I can summarize it. The sign of somebody walking by faith is in how diligent he is in things to put in his hand to do. Some people are lazy. They say they are walking by faith. Why are you not at work? Huh. Prosperity does not come by our labor. It's by grace of God. I'm walking by grace. Not be missing you. Jesus expects you to be diligent. He said, be busy with this until I come. What did he say? Occupy with this until I come. Wake up in the morning and go about your business like a responsible person. Okay? So hard work is part of Christianity. But excessive labor is not. Okay, somebody asked the same question another way, so I think I've answered it. It's excessive labor we are talking about. Too much gra-gra. Don't worry. All right, so I've answered two people's questions. Somebody has asked that one, okay? Somebody said, please, sir, shed light on tithing in the New Testament. Some say it's obsolete. Some ministers believe in deliverance and restitution after salvation. On the tithing matter, please, I will not get the book. I think we still have a copy here. I will have to recommend you go and read Grace to Prosper. There's a segment at the end. I discuss that in detail, even though I don't think it's any longer necessary to worry about such things. Just be a generous giver. The New Testament tither is a generous giver. That's what the Bible says. But if you want a systematic analysis of it, check the book Grace to Prosper. Okay? Go to our blog. Read the articles I have on money there. First fruits, tithes. I have a number of them. You should read it. So I will not be answering that one. Some ministries believe in deliverance and restitution after salvation. Please, I'm sorry. I cannot start some of these things. We can't start them now. But the most important deliverance is the word of God. Okay? Okay. All right. I think I have only one or two more and then we are done. Okay, this is the last one. I really want to know how to use the word to revive business. Olayinka, can you answer that one at the end of the day? Please go and see him at the end of the day. How to use the word to revive. That should be a nice seminar. How to use the word to revive business. Let's do a teaching on that. Business by the book. Yes, that's a very good title. We'll take it from Larry Bucket. Business by the book. It's a good one, but I cannot answer it now. It's a very long one. All right? But what I can just say is just practice the things that we have said earlier. All right? Rearrange your life according to that, and God will give you revelation on what to do next. That's what I think I can answer that like that. Those principles we explained earlier. How do you use the word? Pray about things. Don't ever forget. Always pray about things and do what is right. Somebody say, my spirit is telling me this. Your spirit is your understanding of what is right to do. Are you getting my point? Fill your heart with the knowledge of what is right to do. And that is your spirit speaking to you. All right, the Lord is good. I think I've... please don't send another one after this one. We want to close now. Sorry, this person can ask me. This question that was just sent forward now. Please ask me afterwards. There's no point starting this one now. Ask me afterwards. Once we are done. The person who's... Tall Reverend. Somebody gave you this now. Okay, so the person knows. Whoever gives this to him, please, as soon as we are done, come up to me and ask me that question. I will give you the answer personally. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I think we can go home now. Thank you very, very much. It's been very nice teaching here this weekend. I trust you were blessed. And now once again, can we just rise to our feet? I want us to once again just give God thanks for this whole program. And especially thank God for the instruments of God that he uses to bring us to Port Harcourt every once in a while like this. And all those of you who have been, you know, contributing of your resources to keep the program we have on air. Just bless all those people. Bless all of them. So Lord, thank you for Pastor Banky's co-workers. Remember yesterday I said my name is Bankole Olushina. I'm part of the Pastor Banky team. So there are other people there. So bless especially those who the Lord has used to bring today's meeting to fruition again. Just say, Lord, their prophets' rewards, let it not be denied them. Let no one deny them of their reward. Let no wrong doctrine deny them of their reward. Say, there is a reward for a right labor with a right heart. Say, Lord, bless their homes, bless their children, bless everything that they do. And Paul said, pray for us also. So pray for us also that travels down from Enugu to Port Harcourt. We are four this time. Me, my wife, and these two reverend gentlemen. Pray for other people. People traveled from out of town. Some came by boat from islands. Pray for every single one who love the word of God and the ministry of the word so much. Say, Lord, bless them as they go back. Package their blessings with them. Let nothing drop. Let everything go with them. Let them multiply the word effectively when they get back to where they came from. And thank God for your own life too. Say, Lord, thank you for the grace you gave me to stay through. Let me not forget anything that you taught. Let me walk by them. Let me not forget anything, Lord, that you taught. Let me walk by your word. Make me a faithful instrument. I will walk in my privileges as a son, but make me a faithful servant. Make me a faithful servant. Let your word work in me. Let your word work in me. Let your word produce faithfulness in me. Let your word produce faithfulness in me. Let your word produce faithfulness in me. Father, we give you praise. Give him thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. It is well with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will make his grace shine upon you. He will make his face shine upon you. He will be gracious unto you. He will lift up his countenance upon you. And he will give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you in your going out and in your coming in. No evil will befall you. And no plague will come near your dwelling place. Amen. You will prosper in this land. Amen. I say you will prosper in this land. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep you in this land in the name of Jesus.